Want to hear more? With your Amazon device or Alexa app, say, Alexa, play country farm sounds, and escape to a mid-1900s farm where you will take a walk during the morning chores.
Welcome back in. This is the Friday, March 22, 2024 installment, Market Plus. Mark Gold and I, it's like we just hit pause and wound. Wait a minute, did I wind myself up like a top in the middle in that break, or did I wind you up?
No, I think we both wound each other up on here.
Well, we have a lot of questions. People are wound up. They have questions for you.
Sure,
a lot of them
do.
On corn. If you want the livestock commentary, go back to the end. Maybe we'll talk just a tiny bit about that. But let's start with Joe in Wisconsin. He leads off our questions. Does corn or soybeans have a better chance of having a big surprise at the end of the month reports?
Well, I think maybe the beans do. We've crushed an awful lot of beans. I mean, 20 million this last month over the previous high. And, you know, now we're talking maybe 50 million bushels being cut from the carryouts because of the crush. So I think that's positive out there, that maybe the stocks number will be a little bit friendly on the beans. I think the corn number is going to be high. I think on the acreage numbers, 91 million I think is way too low on the corn. Is it 92? Is it 92 and a half? I think that's probably the range. Are they going to come from the soybean acres? I think some of that will. But I also think the soybeans might lose acres to cotton as well. We've got good cotton prices out there. So I think, you know, with that being said, if I was going to look for a surprise, I would look for a friendly surprise in the soybean market.
Let's go back to crush. This is one of the things I was wound up about in the intermission. That's a lot to crush.
Yes.
Then what? Where's it go?
Well, then you got the meal and you got the oil and you got to find some place to get rid of it.
And who's interested in those products?
Well, you know, certainly biodiesel is going to be interested in it. And I think we'll see more of that. As far as the meal goes, you know, we're still a solid user. We can export the meal. And I think over time, you know, we'll see some of those numbers come up. You know, the meal's a little bit tougher, I think, than the oil. Palm oil had a big break during the week, made new highs, then broke. That pushed our bean oil down. But I think overall, the market will do its job at the right price, mm-hmm. and we'll move those products.
And the meal is an option, and that is something we didn't have, and we have more capacity coming on. That was part of the CoBank's report that they issued Thursday that was of interest. Let's keep going, because this question has a couple layers to it. Stephen of Virginia, which he always has layers to his question. Stephen, thank you. Why does everyone fear a year when corn and beans are twice the price of 2002?
Well, because we can go back there. You know, that would be the fear. You know, if we have another monster crop, corn and beans, if we have great weather this year. You know, last year it wasn't great weather until it was. And as I've always said, these genetics today, they wait and you hear these horror stories. Oh my God, the beans and corn look terrible in May and June and into the first week of July. Oh, it's going to be a disaster. And then you get 2 inches of rain and you got a crop. So, you know, certainly if we grow another big crop, that's going to be an issue. Where are we going to go with all that? If there is any production glitches out here, we still have a lot of corn to get through. But if I'm right and the carryout on beans is going closer to 265 or 270, you know, that's a number that is sensitive to any production losses. So, you know, ultimately, I think that, you know, the beans have a better chance. But, you know, let's see where the Serafina crop winds up in Brazil and the Argentinian crop winds up.
I think I had this question in mind when I asked it to you during the show about what could happen given Friday's close. Yeah. Roger in Indiana asks you, what are the odds that the gap in May beans gets filled? And I my question was, I had the gap in my mind because Friday's movement really kind of gave, I would think, some indigestion.
Well, we were hard overnight, down hard overnight. We didn't start that way. It kind of drifted that way. And then we got really slammed. I still believe that there's a bean story out there. And, you know, like I said in the show, we broke 20 cents off a buck. We needed a correction and we'll get the market healthy again. I don't think there's anything really significant. And again, I see a couple of potentially friendly things out there in the bean market. So I'm not overly concerned about it. You know, this market's had an incredible ability to look great on a close, making new highs for that leg of the move or closing over the moving averages, and then bang, going back the other way. It's looked terrible at the bottom only to come back the next day. So, you know, one day down doesn't bother me too much. We'll see what happens on Monday.
You're going to like Matt's question then, okay, in Iowa, because that ties in exactly with what it looks like has disappeared recently. Matt in Iowa wants to know, why is corn so sideways lately? Are the 20 to 50 cent swings coming back anytime soon?
Sure, they're going to come back as they always do. You know, you look at the closes over the last 8 sessions, and they're pretty stagnant, and we haven't really done much out here. That generally doesn't hold too long. Now, is the report going to be bullish enough to take us to another level? I hope so. But I think we certainly put the bottoms in here. Funds are still heavily short. Margins went up on corn on Friday. So that's going to be another little interesting thing, maybe to force some of the funds out of their positions. So, you know, overall, I think the corn market, you know, has got some upside to it. But we need to really close over. I want to see the May contract close over 446. That would give us an impetus to, I believe, move higher.
So you have optimism. You don't see this as our only good time to market in this year,
no,
happening right now?
Because right now, I don't believe cash prices, when you look at the futures price minus the basis, is all that profitable. And I've always said on this show and other places, you get at least one opportunity every year to market your crops at profitable levels. And I don't think this is that level. And I think something will happen during the summer. We'll get another 40-cent bump, maybe get new crop well toward $5, maybe $5.10. And that may be your marketing opportunity to at least put in a decent floor at much cheaper prices than you can today. So I don't think we've seen our one profitable level quite yet, and I'm hoping that sometime in the summer we'll see that. And that's when you want to get ahead of the marketing, particularly if the American farmer is still holding on to that old crop, looking for $6 corn again, and he doesn't take advantage of that rally. Good luck.
I swear we did not write what we're about to ask, but this is Mark right here, because the next question, Mitch in Iowa wants to know, given the current carryout, what bullish fundamental story can you sell us on for corn right now? Because you've said it time and time again. People are holding on to this crop.
You know, if you guys want the bullish scenario, go out there and sell the old crop corn. Get it out of your hands, into the merchandiser's hands where it needs to be. Then you'll have a bull market. Until that happens, you got to be looking to sell the rallies.
Okay, the email's going to come. The response to that comment, if I tweet it, will say, you're just in with the merchandiser right now and you're making money, and that's why you're telling us to do it.
Anybody who knows me or has seen me on these shows for the last 20-some-odd years knows I'm not a big fan of a lot of the commercials out here. So, no, I'm certainly not in their pocket by any stretch of the imagination. I just know how markets operate over time, and I've seen it too often.
And I want to go back to something you said, too. You said movements of cents. I'm not hearing movements of dollars on beans. Or do you have dollar moves, and do you have more than just 40 to 50 cent moves in corn coming this year in your head?
Yeah, in my head, if the farmer doesn't sell at 40 to 50, well, in my opinion, it'll be about it. If we can get old crop corn anywhere towards 490-ish, we're going to be selling more corn. We don't have a lot to sell, but there's still some left. I think that, you know, in the bean market, we just had a dollar rally. Can we get another dollar rally on top of this? Sure, why not? I think, you know, the corn is cents and the beans are dollars. And hopefully it'll be to the upside. And, you know, the funds are going to come out of these positions at some point. Technically, we've done some very positive things up until today in the bean chart. The corn, the wheat, almost, they actually had a pretty good close here today over the moving averages, outside up day, so that's positive. But, you know, the funds have had a lot more money than I've got, and, you know, they've held in here a lot longer than I think they should have. You know, they have parred some of the positions in the corn, but we'll see where they go from here.
Okay, we are let's just be conservative and say 2 to 3 weeks away before somebody starts planting.
Yeah.
Take away the snow.
Yeah.
Give me some parameters that I should operate on before I go into the field and start planting. What actions do I need to take in beans and corn to help protect myself moving into mid-April?
Well, we recommended Thursday that you've got to take a look at some of the short-dated December corn options and November put options out there. And those short-dated options, you know, they're not cheap by any stretch of the imagination, but they're not all that expensive. You can spend 10 to 15 cents on corn. You can spend 15 to 20 cents on beans, maybe a little bit more, to put in some level of support between now and July. And I think that makes a lot of sense considering all the reports, the spring planting weather, the initial summer weather, and at least, okay, if I'm dead wrong and corn goes straight up from here and you lose the dime and you pick up another 50 cents, all right, are you going to be mad at me? I hope not. That's part of the risk management game. But in the meantime, if things don't go our way and everything looks pretty good, you're going to be real glad you've got that first layer of protection on. So I would do that, and I would do that before the report.
Matt, how can we get mad at you? Your phone must ring on occasion.
Yeah.
Okay. Mark Gold, everybody. Appreciate your time. Good to see you, Mark.
Nice to be here.
All right. That'll do it here for Market Plus next week. We are going to talk about those major government reports and set the course for 2024 in the Grain Belt, at least in the eyes of the USDA. We'll have a panel discussion. Don Rose, Sean O'Leary, and Jeff French. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a great week.